have no fear of dying. I have no fear of death. I felt peace, I felt calm, and I felt safe. I had no worries. It was just a wonderful, wonderful journey.
Radio Netherlands Sound Fountain presents Into the Light, the near-death experience, produced by Chris Chambers.
The idea that when the brain ends, life ends, is now a concept which is beginning to fray at the edges a bit.
My name is Jeanette Atkinson, and I had an out-of-body experience 24 years ago. I had an operation on my right leg. I was on the pill for medical reasons, and I developed pains in my calf, which then spread to pains in my lungs, and I was coughing up blood. X-rays revealed that I had 7 blood clots in my lungs. I got transferred to a medical hospital, was put on oxygen and anticoagulation therapy. From there, my mum stayed with me till 9 o'clock that evening. She had to go home to look after my little sister, and I watched her go out of the ward door. The next thing all I could feel was pain-free, being able to breathe, and it was wonderful.
I'm Dr. Peter Fenwick, and I'm a consultant neuropsychiatrist, which means that I deal with diseases of the mind which come from disturbances in the brain. In the near-death experience, you can divide it up into a whole set of phenomena. Let's take a cardiac arrest. Well, what happens is you're walking along the road, and it's a nice sunny day, and then you get this awful pain in your chest, and you find difficulty in breathing, and you know you're going to die, and you are very, very frightened. Then the near-death experience starts. You suddenly become very calm, and you know it's going to be okay. Then you may have an out-of-body experience and see your unconscious body lying on the ground and maybe a passerby giving you resuscitation.
And then the next thing, I was up on the ceiling, floating around, looking at all the other patients in the beds, looking at the dust on the lampshades and in the chains that are suspending the strip lights from the ceiling. I had to float around and then came back down and was watching a nurse doing some writing on the table. It was just a natural thing that I felt happening. It didn't feel odd, it didn't feel queer or anything like that. It was very calm. I thought it funny, actually, floating up on the ceiling, looking down on people. I wasn't too sure what was going on. But no, it was very, very peaceful. There was no fear involved with it. No worry, you know, what am I doing up here? Am I going to fall or anything? There was nothing like that at all. It was calm. Lovely experience.
And then you go down the tunnel. It's a black tunnel. You float down it. Some people say it's rather like the tunnel that goes into clothes dryers, you know, the sort of ribbed pipe. And then at the end of the tunnel, you see a light, and you go towards the light. When you get to the light, it's described as usually golden or white, and it's very, very bright. You go into the light, and it's composed of pure love. It's a most extraordinary feeling, and people describe it as coming home.
The next thing, everything went very, very black. And at the bottom of this black, it was like a tunnel, was a kaleidoscope of light, like the old-fashioned child's kaleidoscope. That's the only way to describe it. And it was turning, and it was beautiful, and I was being drawn to this light. I wanted to go, desperately, desperately wanted to go to this light. The tunnel was black, but it had like a screw effect to it, sort of curling round, taking you towards the light. The lights were absolutely, they weren't dazzling, they were magnificent. Very hard to describe what these lights looked like. But it wasn't just white, it was multicoloured. and I wanted to keep going. But there's something on the other side of this tunnel. I know, and I will get there one day.
You're surrounded by this pure love and this very white light, and within the light and the love, you may find the being of light. He's usually described as a godlike feature, but you sometimes see him, and if you do, you might say he's like Christ or like a saint, and you'll do that if you have a strong religious belief. Or you may just know the presence is there, and then you may have a conversation, and it's always a telepathic one. You speak in your mind, and he speaks to your mind.
I'm Alison K. Alters. I have written a book about coma, about a car accident my daughter and I survived. And during my coma, I have had near-death experiences. I was on vacation in France, and we were going on a great route to Paris, my daughter and I back to Holland. And then a great truck came towards me, and I put the steering wheel to the right very quickly, and that saved us. And I was in coma for 11 days, and I was in there a little bit of flying also. And it was an atmosphere as if it was from the Bible time, as it was above everything. Not blue, but sort of, you can't describe it, it's so difficult. I was really there, between a sort of angels, you cannot say angels with wings, but very great ghost.
In the tunnel there are no sounds for me. It was silent, but it was a peaceful, calm silent. It wasn't eerie or anything. The lights at the end didn't make a noise either. It was literally as if you're on a piece of rope being drawn into it. And it's peaceful, and that's what I liked about it.
Flowers are always described as very, very colourful, wonderfully colourful. There's a lot of bird song, occasional birds are seen, and there's also occasionally animals described. One of our subjects saw all the dogs of his life come bounding across the grass to him. But you'll be pleased to hear there are no snakes, no gnats, no bugs, nothing awful to bite you. And you walk through the garden, and there you will meet people who have died, usually relatives of yours, who have come to welcome you and pleased to see you.
In the coma, I have many experiences. I was, I think, in heaven with a nephew, which I liked very much, who was already dead. A sort of a house he was living in, very great, with a lot of friends who like him also. A very lovely atmosphere, light, very light. But it was not sentimental, not sweet. It was clear and friendly and warm. And I kissed him. In life he was a professor here in Utrecht. And I told him, you have a little bird, the last time when I saw you, but I'm happy you have shaven it off now. And he laughed. So it was normal. It was a real visit. And we spoke together, and I saw a lot of people behind him who were very friendly, didn't talk with me. We talked with telepathy, I think.
And you may get a life review. About 15%, so it's not everybody, is taken through their whole life. Now, the life review is very ethical. Because what you find is that you see your whole life going before you, see all your thoughts and everything. There's nowhere to hide. And when you see all the rather grubby things that you've done, you feel deeply ashamed. Nobody judges you. You just judge yourself. And then you come to a border. And the border can be anything. It can be a bridge, or it can be just a line, or it can be a door, which if you know you go through, you will die. And you'll never come back. So you come to the border, and then you have to make a decision.
There were hundreds of people coming and going over the bridge. And I was also going over the bridge, but then I came back. And then I was going there again in my body.
Some people want to go on. And then they're usually stopped either by a voice of some sort or by a relative who waves them away or says, your time hasn't come yet, you must go back. And sometimes you make the decision to go back. And people go back for the craziest of reasons. One patient of mine wanted to go back because she hadn't finished the ironing for her husband. And I thought, wow, that's a really lovely thing to go back for. Other people go back because the episode may have occurred during childbirth and they know they have a son who they have to go back and look after. And some people just desperately want to go back because they feel they have things to complete in this life. And then there is no return journey. It's instantaneous and you're back in your body again.
And the next thing, before I actually reached it, a voice said to me, come on, you silly old cow, it's not your turn yet. And as quick as that, I was back in bed, back in pain, looking at the clock. It was 9:20 at night, with a crash team round me. And I think a voice said, oh good, we've got her back. So what had happened, I'm not too sure, but whatever it was lovely. I enjoyed it. I won't be frightened if it happened again.
The really deep question is, can science understand the near-death experiences, or are we never going to be able to do that? In order to answer that question, we have to understand how our science has come to be like it is. Of course, we're talking about Western science, and don't let's forget this. I mean, if you go to a North Indian tribe, they will have their shamans and their own science, and it's not a Western science. So there are many different sciences, and we're dealing with the science of the Enlightenment from the 16th, 17th centuries. And Galileo put it very well when he said that the world has two sorts of qualities, primary and secondary qualities. He said primary qualities are the ones which really matter. And these are objective, that means they're out there. Things like weight, speed, velocity, acceleration, that's what matters. The subjective qualities, things like redness, love, truth, beauty, are far too complex, and they're subjective qualities. They're the secondary qualities, so we're not interested in those. And what has grown up is a primary quality science. That's what we have. We're dealing with those things that are objective out there. Now, a lot of the phenomena of the near-death experience are subjective, and so we need a secondary quality science, a science which includes consciousness, which we don't have in our primary quality science. And just like Newtonian mechanics gave way to quantum mechanics, so I think our current neuroscience will give way to a much wider neuroscience, where mind is seen to be much more universal than just within the brain.